All right, so let's. I want to make two haros very briefly on the Arev discussion before we move on to our Sochar Le'anu Matan discussion for today. So, on last Chabura on Tuesday, we spent a lot of time fleshing out the idea of Arev. We don't have to review that now. I just want to make two diyukim from that discussion. So, the first relates to this nesivus in Siman Shin Mem Sif Katan Yud Aleph. The Nesivus here was discussing that idea of the run that
Zil, you gotta mute.
Yeah.
no, but Zilti's on the phone, right? Maybe there's a way to
We love hearing all of the hop from GPATS, but we're gonna request that you mute it.
So the Nesivus here says that, and remember, so the Nesivus quoted this idea of the run. That when I tell you to send the cow with your chauffeur, so the reason why I'm liable as a shoel is not because the she'ela started, but rather because you are motzi mamon al piv, right? You sent it with the chauffeur at my direction. Now, the Nesivus kind of raised the question. He thought there's a distinction to be drawn, and that's what he says here, between a case where I tell you to destroy or suffer a cost at my direction. So if I tell you, lend money to this guy, I'm directing you to suffer an expense or to incur an expense. If I direct you to throw money into the sea, you're also suffering an expense at my direction. And the Nesivus thinks it's very plausible to apply the idea of an implied indemnification of Arev in those contexts. He's a little concerned that that rationale shouldn't apply to the case of directing somebody to send the cow through their eved to your rishus. And it seems like his reason is that Arev only applies when it's al piv niskalka lo mamono. That's where Arev applies. But in a case where I just tell you to send the cow with your shliach, you're not clearly suffering an expense at my direction. I just told you how to send the animal to my rishus, and it's not clear that I'm accepting responsibility, or that I should be chayav mitam arev in that kind of a situation. So the Nesivus gives like a weird answer. He says, "Ach zeh lo kasha, that's not a problem. D'hale inyan shmira vaday dineschayev, kivan shesilek shmira al piv." Here he shifts gears and says that once I tell you to send the animal with your eved to my rishus, your misalik shmira al piv. At my direction, you removed your own shmira, and that creates a chi of mitam arev, such that I now become a shomer chinam. Because you're misalik shmira al piv, I automatically become a shomer, and once I become a shomer, v'kivan shiyesh alav din shomer chinam, mimelo yachal l'chayev atzmo lahasno shiyeh alav din shoel. Then we could say, oh, once I'm a shomer, I could implicitly be masnet to become a shoel and have that liability. So what I think is striking here about the Nesivus is the mechanism for how Chiyuv Arev is working in this case. Usually Chiyuv Arev is just that, hey, I tell you to suffer a cost of $100. I'm implicitly indemnifying you against that loss. What's happening here is the Nesivus is using a Chiyuv Mitam Arev to say, if you're misalik shmira al piv, I become a shomer. Not just that I'm liable for those similar dinim, and moreover, once I become a shomer chinam, chiyav arev could turn me into a shoel. And so I think this is a real stretch. It's a real extension of what the principle of arev normally does. Normally, it just says that I'm liable for a certain amount. I'm implicitly indemnifying you. Here, it actually turns me into first a shomer chinam, and then further turns me into a shoel. So I think the Chiyuv Arev is being used much more elaborately in this application of the Nesivus than even the paradigm of the Ritva allows for. I know we kind of broached this in the last Chabura, but I wanted to just mention that explicitly. Any of you have thoughts on that, Diak? No? Okay. I see a hand from Yoni. Yoni, go for it.
Yeah, I think it's like really I mean, like, you think this like just rejects like any of his other arguments on this, about Arif in general, or is it specifically in this particular case, he just thinks that there's no way that you could expand Arif currently to cover all foreseeable mishaps?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. You're saying why is he motivated to go through the Shmira route as opposed to just saying that you're accepting some sort of liability?
Yeah, kind of like, I think the simple reading would have been to say that, like what he does is a little bit weird. It's a little bit like playing, you know, having your cake and eating it too, in the sense that he's saying on one hand, it can't be regular Arevos, because regular Arevos, how can you be high of yourself for something which is not your fault, right? The Malach HaMavet came, so why is that your fault?
Right.
But then he says, like, nonetheless, you're still using a Reboot to become like a Shoel, but you're still not a Shoel. Like, he didn't, like, and all the dimming of Shlichus and all the dimming of Baalat Imo, none of those deem apply. You're still, like, you're just, like, Ke'en a Shoel, me din a Reboot.
Ah, yeah.
So he's, like...
It's interesting. I'm not sure. It sounds like you want to read the Nesivos as saying there is no real din shomer. The problem is, look at this phrase: "Dehala inyan shmira vaday din eschayiv kivan shesilek shmira al pe vilu nevda vaday din eschayiv." The kivan sheyesh alav din shomer chinam memelo yachal chayiv atzmo lahasno shiya alav din shoel. I guess so. I read that initially as saying that, oh, since you are a shomer chinam, you could turn yourself into being a shoel. I think what you're reading it is that no, kivan sheyesh alav din shomer chinam, to say not that he has the status of a shomer chinam, it's just that he artificially is mischayev himself to mimic the liability rules of a shomer chinam. Is that your read, Yoni?
Yeah, otherwise, how do you explain the nakamina part?
Yeah. It's interesting. Because he explicitly wants to preserve the Ran's nafgamina, that there's no She'ela Bebailim here, right? There's no Shmir Bebailim yet.
Yeah.
What? Well, I guess the... it's interesting. So notice that Nesivos himself doesn't give that Ran's nafgamina. We'd have to think how he deals with it. He's more interested in distinguishing between the Shliach paradigm and the Shoel power and the Arev Shoel paradigm. Right? So I think he does want to say the Shlichus of being Shoel, the cow, has not yet started. Maybe there's a more temporary Shlichus just for the duration of the sending it over, the transportation from one Rishus to the next Rishus. So there actually would be two separate She'elas, the transportation She'ela liability, and then the She'ela liability of when you actually have it in your Rishus. But
you think that until you get the second Shayla, you're not high of...
That's right.
Until you get to that point, you're not actually high for any of it?
You wouldn't... You could still back out of this, yeah. The second Shmira while you're only under the temporary Shmira of the transportation. But I think a lot turns on what he means.
That's like a huge fetish, then.
Yeah, it is a big fetish.
If you think that they're both meeting Shmira...
Right.
The huge fetish that in some ways they're not connected.
That's right. Well, it's not... I think it makes sense, right? There's one Shmira... based off the original agreement that I'm borrowing your cow, and then there's a second Shmira based off the fact that I told you to send it via your chauffeur, where I'm accepting responsibility for that transportation. But I think a lot turns here on how we read this phrase, kivan sheyeshal of din shomer chinam, memele yachal chai v'atzma l'hasan sheyal of din shoel, whether that means he actually is those, he has the status of those shomerim, or just that he has dinim that mimic the liabilities of those shomerim. That's a very good Hari, Yoni. Gabe, you have a thought?
I'm sort of on Yoni's camp, but this feels like a transition state in the transfer of Bailos. Like, I don't see the Nesivos talking about Din Arev here.
Well, the whole Nesivos is definitely talking about Din Arev, right? He says, V'aran tirei stachem itam Arev. Then he has a problem. He says, Arev works for his chayvus when I tell you to suffer an expense. But here I didn't tell you to suffer an expense. I just told you to send it a certain way. The Malach HaMavis came and killed the animal. So why should I be viewed as voluntarily indemnifying myself if I didn't tell you to do something that's a kilkul?
I see that. I just say in the second half where he... sort of answers with Kasia, I don't see him specifically leveraging the concept of Aryu.
So I think this phrase here, Kiva Chasilek Shmir Al Piv, is a Arev idea, right? Hotzi Mamon Al Piv, Silek Shmir Al Piv. And then also you could see back down here, V'nafkamina Ben Shnei Ata'amim, the Tam Arishon, that is about Shliach, which is what the Ran rejected. You have this Nafkamina. But El Tam Asheni, the Chayiv Mitam Arev, right? So you see, he's still referring to the Tam Asheni as Mitam Arev. He's just working to fix a problem, and how could it apply to the non-Kilkul Malach HaMaves case?
Okay, you've convinced me.
All right, okay, good. Okay, you have to consult with your daughter there if she agrees. Right. Okay. Good. Any other comments on this? Yakir, do you have thoughts on this or no? Okay. The second R I just wanted to make from last Chabura's discussion was with respect to this Nesivis, also in this one in Shin Mem Dalid Aleph. This was the case in the Shulchan Aruch where the Shulchan Aruch said that normally you need a kinyan to make certain agreements. But the rule when it comes to Shomrim is that a Shomer Chinam could be Masna Elios Kishoel, a Shoel could be Masna to be like a Shomer Chinam, even without a Kinyan. The Shulchan Aruch said that that's only true if you made the Tanai Kodim HaShmira. You can't make the Tanai after the Shmira has commenced. The Nesivis thought that this seems to be inconsistent with the idea of Krak Susi Amanas Liftor. If you have an object in your Rishus of mine that you're watching. So let's say I give my jacket here to Noah to wear so that he's actually wearing a beged over his tzitzis there. And I lend the beged to Noah to wear. And then I say, oh, Noah, you know, I want you to tear my jacket on Manas Liftor and you'll be putter. So actually in that case, that works to exempt Noah from liability. Even though if I had given him something b'torah shmira, I can't now change the rules of shmira once it's already in his rishos without a kinyan. So the Nesivis wants to know, what's the distinction between these cases? What's the distinction between the case where he's already a shomer and I'm no longer able to be masna that he should become a different kind of shomer, and the case where he's a shomer on my beged, but I could still say krak susi amanas liftor? Why are those? What's the difference between them conceptually? So the Nesiva says the difference is that in the case of trying to turn one shomer into a different kind of shomer, that's like really trying to modify the shmira status. It's trying to change the halachic status that somebody has. Whereas when he's a shomer and I'm just trying to direct him to do an action based off my instruction, there the p'tur works mitam arev. And so he says, Masha Enkin Hacha B'Shomrim. Sorry, he says that in the Krak Susi Amanas Liftar case, he says, the reason why your pater is Kivan Sha'asa Maisa Al Piv Vahotzi Mamon Al Piv, I could pater him Mitam Arev. I have the power to do that, just like I could say that if you suffer a cost at my expense, I'll indemnify you. I could also say, do this action, you'll be pater. Masha Enkein, in the case where I try to turn Noah from being a Shoel into a Shomer Chinam after the object is already in his Rishus, Kishe'eno Poter also Rak Mechiv Achraya Shel Geneva Delo Shayech Bezed Din Arev. The Nesivis thinks the principle of Arev couldn't apply to that kind of a situation. So I think what's going on here is that the Nesivis thinks that the principle of Arev is much more limited. He's saying that the principle of Arev can't turn one kind of Shomer into another Shomer. Rather, it can do is that it can establish that if you do an action at my direction, I could indemnify you or potter you. But the principle of Arev can't really go much further to magically transform one kind of Shomer into another Shomer. So I do think these kinds of Nesivis, the Shin Mem Dalid and the Shin Mem Nesivis, seem to be a little bit in tension with each other. Gabe, you have a comment?
No, sorry.
Okay. But if you have a comment, that's fine too. So, All right, Zebra, anybody have comments on those two Nasivuses and how they seem to be a little bit in tension with each other? Let's see if anybody has thoughts on that. Okay. Yoni, go for it. Yoni?
Yeah, I don't really get the second Nasivus. If you can just say that I will, give you, isn't a Reva in some ways, in this context, almost like being Moko?
Yes.
In advance? Isn't that almost like what you're doing? So why can't you do the same thing in the case of your Korea for where you're being a Shomer?
Well, you can.
Yeah, you owe me the cost of the shirts.
So he's saying that you could use Arev to impose costs, reallocate costs and pater liabilities in specific instances where you direct somebody to do X or to do Y. But you can't use the principle of Arev to transform the status of somebody from being a Shomer X into being a Shomer Y. Arev is much more limited. It just transfers liability in Asa Maisa Piv. It can't turn you from one kind of status of Shmira to another. Got it, Yoni?
Right, but I guess in a specific case, can't you just pop the guy in a specific case?
I think so. I think you would. Yes, I think you would allow that. I think that's what the Nasivus is getting at.
But in the general thing, you can't indemnify from all Pasukim.
Correct.
Can't indemnify from
exactly. In his language, Eino poter oso rak michiv achrayas shel geneva to lo shayach b'zedin arev. I can't say somehow through the principle of arev that you'll never be chayev for any case of geneva. What I can say through arev is that if you do X, then I'll absorb the cost. But I can't use the principle of arev to say you're no longer going to be chayev for some set of halachic liabilities. That seems to be the Nasivus's position here. I think that's in tension with what he says in Shin Mem, where he seems to say that when I tell you to send the cow with your chauffeur, I'm implicitly making myself into a shomer to cover all these kinds of liabilities. I guess he would say that there it's asa maisa al piv, right? My liabilities arise through directing you to undertake some sort of performance. Whereas I can't just say through the principle of arev, I'm now a shoel on all aspects of this animal. I think that'd be the way to reconcile them. You point to Arev kicks in through specific actions, Sha'asa al-Piv. Okay. Anybody have last thoughts before we move away from Arev? Okay, so let's say we'll say goodbye to Arev. Let me just make one last comment just to reinforce something I stated last time, and that is this Nasivus in Shin Vav is just again a nice way of bringing out the difference between liability mitam nezek and liability mitam Arev. In Simen Shin Vav, the Nasivus worked off this idea of the Ravid in the Shita Mukabetes and Bamitsiyanai and Gimel and Beis, that in the Zolshafat case, the Shliach who didn't purchase the wine could be held liable for being Mevatel Kiso Shel Chavero. And he has to pay the Mishaleach for any losses that he suffered through not going and purchasing the wine. And Nasivus here pointed out that because the liability here is mitam arev, so the shliach can be chayiv even for mevatel kiso, right? Whereas under nezek, you wouldn't be able to generate that kind of liability because it'd only be a kind of grama. That's a nice way of drawing out a distinction between chiyuv mitam arev and chiyuv mitam nezek. Just wanted to reiterate that point that we saw last time. Okay, so that's it for the arev discussion. Let's now move to our discussion of remedies for Chazara B'davar Ha'aved.